I know enough plumbing to be dangerous. And yesterday I experienced that. I spent half the day in our bathroom. There was a slow leak coming out from under the toilet, so I had to pull the commode and replace the seal around that drain and reset that commode. I'm grateful for YouTube and ChatGPT and three trips to Lowe's, but I've got it reset and nothing is leaking yet, and so we'll just have to keep an eye on it. But think about a plumber who has this calling and they give themselves to the training and they enter into an apprenticeship and they become a master plumber in the end. And yes, they've got all the skills and they know how to do all of these repairs and probably even have everything they need on the truck and in their home. And if necessary, they can fix the toilet themselves if they have a leak or any other plumbing need. But that expertise is not meant to just rest with them, because they're called to something more. They're called to help people make repairs for others who don't know how to make them themselves. And all that training serves a greater purpose. It doesn't just terminate on them. It exists for another greater reason. In that sense, the formation of that plumber has both personal or inward and outward effects. And we have been saying this all month long. Our formation isn't just for us, doesn't just terminate on us. Our formation is for the mission. There is benefit. The peace that we experience whenever hard times come, or despair, depression, disease, death, whatever, anxiety, frustration, all of it. The practices of Jesus form the people of Jesus to endure when life gets hard, but it doesn't terminate on us, because it's not just about us. There's also an outward purpose to the formation that's going on, and that is the mission of Jesus. Even the things that we experience, heartbreak, whatever it is, those things become a part of our witness, maybe even an entry point into the lives of another. And so, as we've said again and again, the practices of Jesus form the people of Jesus for the mission of Jesus. And over the last few weeks, we have said that Scripture shapes imagination. More than just consuming content or gathering information, Scripture shapes our imagination to see this world as it really is, and maybe even to live our lives as God really intends us to live. Then we said, prayer shapes our attention, and as much as talking or listening to God, prayer is about learning to pay attention to God, no matter what the distractions are that come our way. And you know, we live in a fast-paced, frenzied, distracted world, and so we're learning how to pay attention. Last week we said fasting shapes desire, and it is good to abstain from technology or fill in the blank, but biblical fasting is from food, which is our primary source of energy. If we don't eat, we'll die. When we fast, we're turning our hunger for food towards God, and that's exactly what fasting is all about, cultivating hunger for God. And all of these things are stacking on top of themselves. The premise of this morning, listening shapes obedience. Jesus listened to the Father. We listen to Jesus, and we obey. So we want to lay the foundation first. Jesus listens to the Father. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. And we see that throughout the book of John. Jesus does only what he sees his Father doing. That's John 5:18. He does nothing on his own, speaks only what his Father's taught him. That's John 8:28. Jesus came not to do his own will, but the will of the one who sent him. John 6:38. And think about all that Jesus did. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. He taught in their synagogues and proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus empowered others, released them for ministry, poured into them again and again. He multiplied himself over and over. Jesus was doing exactly what he saw his Father doing. He listened to the Father. Second, we listen to him. We listen to Jesus, who said, whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Ouch. John 8:47. Jesus's sheep listen to his voice. They know it. He knows them. They follow him because they know his voice. Throughout John 10, we see that imagery of sheep and shepherd. Jesus' disciples responded to his invitation. They followed his instruction on the other side of his death and resurrection. Pentecost, because of the Spirit within them, they followed Jesus unto death. People who belong to Jesus learn to recognize the voice of Jesus, which is not always audible. God speaks in many different ways. He speaks through his scripture, speaks through prayer, speaks through confirming circumstances, even through supernatural means, sometimes even from Christian counsel, the church. Knowing and hearing God's voice comes in many ways, but when it comes, whatever the way, it's always consistent with God's word, with God's character, with the truth therein. That's because truth has a name. And everyone on the side of truth listens to Jesus, John 18:37. So Jesus listened to the Father. We listen to Jesus, who said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Just like the Father sent Jesus, Jesus is sending us. That's the foundation. He listens to the Father. We listen to him. And all of that leads to obedience. And the scripture that Travis read earlier illustrates that for us. Acts chapter 10, verses 19 and 20 is a part of a larger story that's found in the whole of Acts chapter 10 that begins with a Gentile named Cornelius. A Gentile who is not a Jew. He is a centurion in the Italian regiment. He was God-fearing. His family was the same, very generous with his resources. He prayed all the time. And one day, Cornelius received a vision instructing him to call for a man named Simon Peter. And Cornelius did not fully understand the purpose behind that vision, but the Lord spoke, and Cornelius obeyed. And so he sent two servants and a devout soldier to Joppa to find Peter. Joppa is about 30 miles away from Caesarea, where Cornelius was, like from here to Jacksonville. And he sent these men to get Peter, who about noon the next day, while these men were on their way, Peter went up on the roof to pray. And as he prayed, Peter became hungry, and they were preparing food down below, and Peter's hunger is turning towards a hunger for God, directing his attention, and Peter had a vision. In this vision, a sheet came down from heaven with all of these unclean animals on it, and Peter heard a voice that said, Peter, get up, kill, and eat. And Peter said, surely not, Lord, I've never eaten anything impure or unclean. And that voice responded, do not call anything impure or unclean that I have made clean. And that experience happened two more times, just like that. Finally, that sheet was taken back into heaven, and Peter's trying to figure out, what does all this mean when these men from Cornelius' house arrive? And Peter's thinking about this vision, and the Spirit spoke, saying, Simon, Peter, these men are looking for you. Get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. Peter heard the Lord. And at first there was confusion about all that's clean and unclean. And then God spoke with clarity. The Spirit interrupted Peter's confusion and brought direction. And that clarity led to immediate response. Peter went downstairs, met these men, invited them in, and there was no delay. There was no negotiation. Peter didn't know yet where all this was going, but he took the next faithful step he knew to take and followed as Lord revealed. The next morning, Peter went with those men to Cornelius' house, and he crossed cultural lines, went into an uncomfortable situation, even with some confusion. But Peter accepted the cost of following Christ, and he stayed with Christ, and something beautiful happened. We know Pentecost happened in Acts chapter 2, but here in Acts chapter 10, it's known as the Gentile Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon and came into those unclean non-Jews, the Gentiles, poured out on them, in them. And we often think of Paul as the one who reached the Gentile world, and rightly so. But this moment mattered deeply in many ways. It started here. In reality, it started with Jesus, who interfaced with lots of people who were nothing like him, especially his Jewishness. But here in Acts 10, this gospel is breaking open. All because Jesus listened to the Father. Peter listened to Jesus, and Peter obeyed. He embodied exactly what we are going after in this series. There was formation happening for years, Peter, apprenticeship to Jesus. And there was peace that Peter received because of that apprenticeship. And it's a good thing, because Peter experienced confusion and heartbreak and denial and failure and fear and suffering and stretching. And he was being formed to endure difficult things. But it wasn't just about that. There's something more to it. Mission is the fruit. And for Peter, that meant going into uncomfortable places for the sake of others. Scripture shaped imagination. Prayer shaped attention. Fasting shaped desire. Listening shaped obedience. And Peter obeyed. Back when I was growing up, we had this thing called a boombox. And this is a little mini boombox. But kids, there on the top is a little knob you could turn, and it would move that orange thing left and right, and you're trying to land on a station and hone in on the signal so that you could hear what's been there the whole time. And unless it's tuned in, all you hear is static and noise and squiggle, competing signals. But when you tune in, you begin to recognize what's been there all along. You just didn't know it. The voice of God is very much like that. We are surrounded by noise and notification, distraction, news, others, appearance, anxiety, hurry. And over time, we become people who are pretty good at reacting, but not very good at listening. Listening to God requires something that our culture rarely practices anymore, and that is attention. Your attention is one of the hottest commodities. People are vying for your attention. And we are fighting to give our attention to God. This discipline of listening trains us to tune out the noise around us so that we can tune in, attune to, recognize the voice of God. And that goal is not just so we know everything about everything all of a sudden. The purpose is, the goal is, that over time we're learning to recognize the voice of God and take the next faithful step we know to take. Doing the next thing we know to do, one step at a time. Listening is simply making space for God to speak into our lives and circumstances, to speak into our context and give us direction. And God may not show us everything at the beginning, may not tell us every detail about everything that's going on, but he often gives us enough just to take one step and then another and then another. Listening is slowing down. It's paying attention. It's becoming more and more aware of God's presence, who's already there. We're just trying to tune in. Listening means becoming attentive to God on our own, in our prayer closets, so that we can be attentive to him when we're out in the world and all the places that we go, because he's there too. And over the course of time, we become more and more familiar with God's activity and his leadership in our day-to-day lives. And all of this has some benefit to us, but maybe even greater benefit to those around us. Listening helps us recognize God's voice and his guidance more clearly. So I want to invite you to begin integrating listening into your life as a rhythm. And we practice that in here, and not just the silent part of our prayer time, because it's possible for us to tune in to God who's always speaking. And I know God speaks more than when we're just sitting in silence. I know he speaks more than any talking head that's ever up here on stage. God speaks when we sing. God speaks through the creeds that we proclaim and through the prayers that we pray. He's always speaking, always shaping our hearts so that we are attuned to his. But beyond this time, the reason we do this is so that when we're not here, we are tuned in. And I want to challenge you or invite you to integrate listening as a rhythm of your life. And one way I do this, setting a timer on my phone, 2 minutes, which sometimes feels like an eternity, but I set a timer and I just sit there in silence. And I may not hear God's audible voice, but I know he's shaping something. And I know he's tuning me in that moment in such a way that I might be tuned in all the moments. And if that's challenging, I want to give you some breath prayers that you might pray in that time of silence, almost as a point of reeling it back in when the mind starts to wander. Brennan Manning, the late Brennan Manning, was a Catholic priest who left the priesthood, got married, but he was a prolific author, speaker, and he talked about praying in the temple of nowhere. One word made up of two, now, here, nowhere. And when he practiced silence and his mind started to wander in that temple of nowhere, he would just repeat, Jesus, now. Jesus, now. And maybe that's your breath prayer. Or maybe it's on earth, in heaven. On earth, in heaven. Or come, Holy Spirit. And the beautiful thing about praying these breath prayers in that moment of 2 minutes, it serves some purpose when we're out in the world trying to discern, Lord, what are you doing here? What does this look like? Jesus, now. And that familiarity that we have in our prayer closet is experienced out in the world. So I want to encourage you to try 2 minutes. And maybe you do that first thing after waking up, while the coffee is brewing, before you reach your phone. Maybe you do it before you get out of your car at work, or even at the end of the day, before you go into whatever is awaiting you inside the home. Maybe you do it last thing in bed or first thing before getting out of bed, but I challenge you, I invite you to try this out so that we're learning how to pay attention and be obedient in a moment. And I want to encourage you, once you've got that, to stretch it out, maybe 10 minutes. Give some extended time to listening and practicing solitude. I encourage you, think through your day, when it might be best for you to practice this. Think through your week or your month and when you might find a little bit more time to draw this out and experience attunement to the Lord, becoming familiar with His voice. And think about a church full of people like that who are in tune with God and what He's doing in all the places that we go, and how we are uniquely positioned and what we might give ourselves to in participating with God. We are being formed for something so much greater than any of us realize. God is raising up an army of leaders, disciples, and lovers of Jesus' name. And before we close this morning, we're going to try this on even in this room. And so I'll watch the clock for 2 minutes. And I want to encourage you to get comfortable. Maybe uncross your legs. Maybe close your eyes. Maybe take a deep breath. It may seem like an eternity, but let's do this. Lord, speak, for your children are listening. Father, give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you are doing around us, what you are inviting us into, and help us to follow you in obedience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.